lunchtime on a Tuesday after the Nuggets punched their ticket to round two. And the Avs, well, they can do the same coming up tonight on ESPN at 7:30. We are going to touch on all things Nuggets as they got the huge game 5 win last night, 108-106, the final. Jamal Murray led the team in scoring with 32 points, and none bigger than this one right here.
Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime. Jokic just screened Murray to try to break the tie.
No timeout by the Lakers, they gotta go.
James, a bump, a feed, a print shot, no! Zero's on the clock, the Nuggets advance! They have won! And the defense of their championship title is alive and well.
TNT on the call right there. Great call by Harlan. It was, what, Reggie Miller and Jamal Crawford, I think, there with him. Just the moment you hear the crowd losing their mind, they go crazy for the shot, then realizing, as they described, hey, no timeout, boom, 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 the Lakers are going to roll. Nikola plays beautiful defense. Makes LeBron James pass the basketball to Taurean Prince, and he heaved one up from half court. I don't even think that thing touched the rim, and it was a wrap for the second straight season. The Nuggets eliminated the Lakers.
Yeah, just awesome. Awesome job by so many guys that stepped up. Obviously, Jamal had the two biggest shots of the series, and you know, watching that last one last night, man, when he shot it, I was like, did that go in? I mean, it's just so clean. Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know if it hit the front of the rim and went down. Like, what happened there? And it was like, wow, remarkable. He did it again. And Jokic, with the you know, we talked about it earlier, with just the heads-up play of knowing that the Lakers didn't have a timeout and knowing where the ball was going, cut off LeBron. I got a little bit nervous. I think it was KCP. You know, I didn't think he really needed to get that close to Prince.
Yeah.
You know, it is the Lakers. It is LeBron. And if you give them an opportunity to screw you, normally they do.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, don't get called for a foul right here, please. You know, and thank goodness no foul called. The Nuggets advance. Just remarkable couple finishes there in this series by Jamal. Jokic was Jokic. He just dominated night in and night out. And then Michael Porter Jr. did his thing, and Aaron Gordon did his thing. You know, he had that one just remarkable game. But other than that, he just made key plays, mm-hmm. like really game-winning plays late in basketball games. Offensive rebound last night and the, I don't know, pass slash offensive rebound on the Jokic heave-hove, trying to get the foul in game two, where we got it back to Michael Porter Jr. for the game tying three.
Yeah, and it's actually ironic because that moment and last night's three that the MPJ hit, at least, both put the Nuggets at 95, and then they were in control kind of from that point. So huge moments for both of them. We wondered going into the game, because he was listed as questionable, if Jamal Murray would even play. And like I said, being down at the game, watching him warm up, he was late to his normal warm-up time. Only warmed up for, I mean, if it was 10 minutes, I might be giving him a generous amount of time. It was not the normal routine. Went back right away, and then we ultimately found out he was going to play. Coach Malone talked about that decision after the game.
The conversation before the game, without getting into too much detail, was an emotional one about him playing tonight. And as he just told me, he goes, I'm glad I played because I don't know if we win if I don't play tonight. I said, well, that's the understatement of the year.
Yeah, I would go with they won't.
That would have been a loss for
if
sure.
If you didn't play. And then Jamal also talking about his decision to give it a go.
I felt like I could, and they just didn't want me to risk it. They told me no. And I didn't say no.
Okay, that's kind of interesting to me. They told me no, but I didn't say no.
Yeah.
Does he have that kind of, hey, it's his call?
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what about protecting the player from themselves? That old statement.
This is the playoffs.
All right.
It's your calf. It's not your, you know, your knee, or it's his, you know, so it's like, I think at a certain point, you know, it's like, all right, hey, I'm playing. I'm playing, you know, and certain guys have that luxury, right? And he's one of those guys. So, I think it's like most of the time you would let the player make the call in those situations.
Okay.
Like, can you go? Can you not go? Right? Like, what do they know?
It's not their body.
Right. They know nothing. All right, I don't know if he got an MRI or anything like that. He strained his calf. All right, and that's what it is. Like, either you can push through it or you can't. There's always risk of injuring it more.
Sure.
And so you have to rely on the player. Those guys, you know, the suits, you know, they're gonna try to be cautious here and like, oh, we don't want to hurt Jamal moving forward, which you appreciate, right? And but as a player, you know, ultimately, in a player of Jamal's stature, it's their call, and it should be their call, and it was his call. And you know, he stepped up to the plate, and he didn't want his teammates to be out to be there without him in the lineup. And you know, yeah, they don't have a chance to win that game without him. I mean, it would have been Chicken Fingers guy there, Reggie Jackson, who Chicken Fingers, what would you have thought if Reggie had to play, you know, 30 minutes?
Not good.
Yeah.
Chicken Fingers has started a revolution of Reggie. I told him this morning, I tweeted last night during the game, like, hey, anybody else down to put a cap on Reggie Jackson 3-point attempts? And the amount of interaction that tweet got of how about the cap is zero? How about 0 minutes? I'm like, how many Twitter accounts does Chicken Fingers have to just reply this many times?
Hey, I allegedly got a Broncos player kicked off the team.
Oh, so that's right. You got
I
power.
I got some power in this town.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting one there. You look at Reggie, right? And he was, I mean, he was, what, I think he was 2-for-2 from 3-point. Mm-hmm. Land in the first half, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, the second half comes and it's like, I charted it, by the way.
Oh, you did? Nice.
Third quarter, 0-for-1, 0-for-2 from three, right? And then starts off fourth quarter, misses another 3-pointer, then misses a 2-pointer, then misses another 3-pointer, right? So that's 0-for-4 from three in the second half, 0-for-1 from a 2-point, from a 2-pointer. So it's and it seems like when he starts to miss, the ball just keeps finding him with the shot clock winding down. And it's like, holy blankety blank, like he's going to shoot it again. And it's like goodness gracious, you started off so good. And then it just goes away. It's like, holy cow, man, it's going to cost the Nuggets. This bench will cost the Nuggets. It is so bad. It is awful. Awful, awful, awful. And, you know, like, dude, I think that's what it is. Just stop shooting 3-point. I don't care what happens. Just throw the ball out of bounds if the shot clock's winding out. Just can't take it. See, you continue to miss shot. He had like a 4-footer and it's like, brick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy cow. I mean, it's driving me nuts. Their bench has got to be better, Josh. Or they won't beat Minnesota. I mean, that bench has been so bad during this series, they won't beat Minnesota with production like that. What the hell was going on last night? 5 minutes for Peyton Watson, 6 minutes from Christian Brown,
mm-hmm.
Minutes from Holiday, and then obviously Reggie played more because of Jamal's injury, I guess. But Jamal still played 41 minutes.
Well, I think that Reggie
Caldwell
played. Yeah, he twists his ankle.
Right. So, like, the bench, I mean, they were limited in such a big way last night. I mean, are we going to continue to see that? Can you continue to do that if you're Michael Malone? I mean, put 46 minutes, Aaron Gordon, 46 minutes, Michael Porter Jr. There's only 48 minutes in the game, folks.
Yeah.
So, like, can you continue to do that with those guys and put the minutes on them like that throughout a series? Like, so is I mean, Michael Malone's telling us how much he trusts the bench. None.
With
those minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a problem, and you're absolutely right. It's going to be a red flag, an Achilles heel, whatever you want to call it, against Minnesota in round number two. And Reggie, stop shooting the way that you're shooting the basketball. Peyton Watson, we know what Peyton Watson's there. We don't need to rely on a ton of scoring from Peyton Watson. You need to play defense, grab rebounds, and start transition breaks the other way.
That was a big three from him.
It was a big one.
He did make one, shot once, and made it one.
But Christian Brown... Look, I like Christian Brown a lot. I think every Nuggets fan likes Christian Brown a lot, what he brings to the table. But last night, that wasn't Christian Brown. I don't know who the heck was in the body of Christian, but that dude had no confidence. He got a ball stoke in transition where he's trailing on a play. It might have been Michael Porter Jr. that gets to the basket, sees he's not going to score too much challenging in front of him, passes behind him to Christian Brown, who's at the free throw line, dribbles it back out to let the offense set up itself. Like, he just, Christian doesn't have any confidence in himself, and it's not like it doesn't hang around forever, but he kind of, it feels like he goes through these moments where he just loses all confidence in his ability and certainly shooting the ball. That's what I watched from him last night.
Yeah, it's just gotta have better from the whole bench. But Michael Malone is telling us with his actions how he feels about that bench. Right. Now, we'll see what it looks like early in the Minnesota series. Will we be seeing, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes from these guys, or will they be back up to 12, 13, 14 minutes from the bench? And so I don't know. I don't know what it's if you can put that type of wear and tear on the starters throughout the and expect them, like, we're trying to win a championship. We're just not trying to get out of the second round. So I don't know how that looks for guys like Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. to be playing those types of minutes, if that's sustainable for them. I just know we got to have better from the bench. One of those guys has got to start making some shots. If not, it's going to be difficult. So it's been a concern all year, and it's becoming more of a concern with the bench play. So hopefully we see a different group against Minnesota, because I mean I just don't see them being able to win that series without much better play from those guys on the bench.
Nuggets fans, what do you think? How worried are you about the bench and how it stacks up against the other side now with the Timberwolves coming to Ball Arena for Game 1 on Saturday? Tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line. The number is 303-713-1043. All right, a couple of things still to talk about with this Lakers series wrapping up. I mean, first of all, we're watching it. ESPN can't get LeBron out of their mouth or their headlines or their graphics. It's all still, as we kind of assumed it would be, about what the Lakers do next.
What's LeBron's future?
What's LeBron going to do?
And I get it. Like, you're talking about, you know, an all-time great, and his season just came to an end again. So that's the next step, right? And he's not getting any younger. So I get it. I get it. And look, it's the Lakers. It's LeBron. And those are the headlines, right? So, and that's just the way, that's the way that sports work, sports media work, yeah. Right? And so, yeah, it is what it is. No big deal. I don't really let that bother me because it's, we're kind of the under-the-radar team anyway. That's where we've been. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, all right, we don't need the headlines right now. We got the headlines with the championship last year. So, well, let's go get us another one of those, and all will be good.
And then the other thing about LeBron, we were just watching this on the break, and I thought I'd seen it in real time, but I was like, he wouldn't do that for real. So LeBron doesn't get a foul call. He walks. He makes a beeline to the TNT table.
LeBron gets a foul called on him.
Oh, okay. He gets
that's
a foul
what it was with him and Jokic were kind of tangled up.
Oh, that's right.
And they called it on LeBron. It could have gone either way. It could have been a no call, but they ended up calling on LeBron, right?
He gets mad. He walks towards the TNT table and says, "These refs are bleeping trash. They're bleeping trash." Says it a couple of different times. And then he's sitting right there at the table. The TNT table is in between fans that are sitting courtside. And a woman stands up and calls him a crybaby.
Well, she didn't even really stand all the way up, right? She got up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And did the wan wan cry cry by your eyes, right?
Yeah.
As she was rubbing her eyes, kind of, right? Okay.
And then LeBron, like, flexed on her.
Yeah,
like,
he kind of,
like, you know, when you're like, "Oh, I'll get you, bro." You know, like, "Better be careful, dude." Like, that's kind of what I think of. He did that to her. And then she got back at him, which I'm like, "Get him, girl." That was cool to see. She stood up a couple different times doing the wah-wah thing, which I'm like, "There you go." I thought Denver fans doing Denver things. But if they, like, how can LeBron just do that? Is that okay?
Yeah, why not? Like, what did he do? He didn't do anything to her, did he?
I mean, he could flex on the fans like that?
Yeah. I thought that was funny. Like, you know, she's giving it to him. He's just messing around with her. And just kind of made her flinch, which he did. Which
she did.
And she sat down real quick.
I'd probably flinch too.
Well, yeah, I would too. I didn't think it was a big deal. I guess some people say, "Well, it's a female. He shouldn't do that to a female, right?" She's talking trash to him.
Yeah.
He just kind of gave it back to her. That's kind of the way I looked at it.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of funny. But I thought the funniest part of it all was he was just like the way that he was just stomping around the court like a 2-year-old that, you know, got their toy taken away like he did the previous game when the Nuggets inbounded and got a quick bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So I laughed about that. It's funny. And he's over there. Peyton was over there too, right behind him. So, but he's talking to the announcers, and I thought the whole thing was just kind of funny.
Maybe he's flexing on Peyton.
Maybe so.
You know?
Right. Like, you want some of this?
Yeah.
You want some of this?
Right.
Bring your kids over here. I'll give them a whipping.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of Peyton, this is a weird way to bring it up, but I did a video from the court last night.
Yeah.
And one of the responses made me feel real insecure. It was like, dang, man, you got to change that angle because your forehead is big.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. I'm already insecure about that.
Yeah.
You know, like.
No, just embrace it like he does. It's worked out well for him.
Sure. Yeah, you're right, actually.
So, like, I don't know. That might be a good thing nowadays. I mean, look how many commercials he's on.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
I could be his forehead stunt double.
That's right.
I've been looking at this the wrong way.
You got to embrace the forehead stuff.
You're absolutely right.
But he was in the house. I didn't get game 5 invite. I was busy anyway.
Yeah, you had stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on. So
you would think like you were there for the game 2 buzzer beater. You're kind of important.
Yeah, I guess that's not the way that it works. That important because I wasn't there in game 5. Now it wasn't a buzzer beater.
Sure,
right? It wasn't that good.
Yeah,
but it was still pretty cool.
Turns out, I guess, Peyton's the good luck.
Right,
He's handling it for
us. It's not me.
Down there.
It's
yeah.
not me, for sure. But that, like, great finish, obviously.
It
great way
awesome.
To win that series and at home. And then now you got a little bit of extra rest here, getting ready for Minnesota, who's playing, obviously, as good as anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the other thing that we got to remember here with Minnesota, very talented, we saw them last year, and they got a couple dudes, is – one of their main guys was out for an extended period of time late and came back with a couple games left into the regular season. And now he's kind of – Carl Anthony Towns is who I'm talking about. Now he is kind of getting back in his groove a little bit. So it's just – look, it just makes it more difficult. Not that the Nuggets can't beat them, but their dudes have to play really well, and their non-dudes have to step it up,
mm-hmm.
the bench guys.
Yeah, Minnesota is not going to be a joke. We know how good they are, what they were able to do to Phoenix. Do you think it matters much about Chris Finch? He's going to undergo surgery for the patella tendon. He had the collision with Mike Conley.
That's their coach.
That's their head coach. I mean, I don't know. I've never had surgery on my patellar tendon. I don't know what the timeline would look like. Can he?
It ain't weeks, brother.
It's months?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a big boy surgery.
So
that ain't
like
one of those Mark Slareth, 50 surgeries, like, you know, yeah, I got my knee scoped 20 times this offseason,
right.
You know, and he counts those as all his surgeries. This is a big boy surgery here.
Okay, so it's probably tough for him to be on the sideline, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah. Dude,
what do you do? Are you in a boot, one of those wheelie things? What happens with this?
Do you know where your patella tendon is?
Of course I know. Tell Kevin.
Yeah, tell me, Stoker. Let's see if you know.
It's in your it's in your knee.
Yeah,
right?
That's what
we were going
your knee,
with.
Yeah. Right, your knee.
I mean,
is your
knee-high boot.
Yeah, so your boot won't work for the knee.
Okay.
So I don't think there's any knee-high boots. What you have is a brace.
Yes.
I don't know how they – I never had patella surgery, thank the Lord. So I would assume – you know, sometimes you get those things moving really quickly, so I don't know if he's in, like, a full, like, straight leg brace, but he can't be on the sidelines. For I would say for a little bit. I mean, it's just a dangerous situation. He won't be able to move out of the way when things are happening.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know where they could put him. But do you put him up in the booth, you know, up in a box? I mean, that's no good. So I'm not expecting to see him. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this patella tendon stuff. Because like I said, I've never had that surgery. It might not be that bad of a surgery. Just my first thought process is that's a big boy surgery, and that takes a lot of time to heal. I'm not really expecting to see him. How much of an impact is that?
Yeah, that's the second question.
It's coaching in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, roll the ball out.
Bro, you could put me as Minnesota's coach.
Yeah.
And look, I could figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get the ball to Anthony Edwards, right? And everybody else, get out of the way.
Uh-huh.
And let that dude do his thing. So, I would say it's not that big of a deal for Minnesota. I don't know who their assistant coach is. I'm sure he'll do just fine, just as long as he's competent.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing is knowing when to use your timeouts.
Yeah.
Right?
Saving one, maybe.
Yeah.
Or final play.
Yeah, well, that usually helps.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine if they had, what, 3 point something seconds left with a timeout, got it at midcourt there?
That's an eternity.
Exactly. You get the ball to LeBron. I mean, so like, thank the Lord that they challenged that play there. But anyway, it's I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right? It's not the guy, you know, you can make adjustments. I'm sure he's going to be watching the game, right? He might be a little loopy, which could be a positive for the Nuggets. Like, hey, I think we should, we're going to bring Anthony Edwards off the bench in game two. So I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal. You?
I don't, because you know what Minnesota's going to do with or without Chris Finch? They're going to get Anthony Edwards the ball and try to isolate the matchup that they want. Karl Anthony Towns is going to stand in the far baseline corner and shoot open threes when Ant can't get the shot that he wants. And then they're going to ask Gobert, Goober, as we call him, which I really love, to not screw it up for everybody.
Yeah.
That's the plan for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
And they got Naz Reid. They got, who's that, Jaden Daniels or whatever, McDaniels.
McDaniels, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, something like that. So, I mean, they got some other dudes that are good players, too, that can get going. Mr. Slow-Mo himself.
That's right.
Kyle Anderson.
Forehead gang.
Yeah, so it's, you know, they got a good group there. I don't think their coach being out, if he is out, for all the playoffs or this series is going to make a big difference at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think the biggest questions, you said it, the bench, that's a huge X factor. They cannot perform at the level they did in round one, or they will not be moving on from round number two. And then Jamal, I know he hit the big shots, and it was great, and it was fun, and it's certainly going to be what we remember when we look back at round one, but he can't shoot the ball at 35 or less percent, and he certainly can't shoot threes at a 21% mark or less. And then I think another question, and he's earning benefit of the doubt in the real time, but I think it'd be foolish us for just give it to him moving forward. Can Michael Porter Jr. be the same person he was in round two that he was in round number one?
Yeah, those are all very valid points there. I think with Jamal, it's like, all right, that's the game that he needed just to get that confidence back.
Yeah.
Right? Not that he was lacking confidence, but man, when you can finish a series like that with it not just being like a 4 or 5 minute spurt like it was in game two, it was a whole game. That guy went out there and dominated. It's like, all right, now you can use that momentum to go into the next series. I think that's huge there. And the other point about Michael Porter Jr. is very fair, right? I mean, can he continue to be that guy? Guess what? They need him to.
Yeah.
And I might go as far as say he has to be that version of himself. And if not, they're not going to win. Like, he's got to be that type of scorer, that type of guy getting boards, just being the active Michael Porter Jr. And I forgot about Mike Conley. I mean, Mike Conley, you know, they got Conley over there in Minnesota also. So they got a good squad. We got a good squad. It ought to be a great, great series. It really should be a great series. I just keep going back to how we bleeped up the end of the regular season. We should have the one seed. Sure. We shouldn't be playing Minnesota right now, Josh.
Yeah.
And that pisses me off. It does.
You could just be chilling, waiting for Dallas, LA.
Right. I mean, come on. Like, I mean, oh, that was just a kick in the you-know-what, and it keeps being a kick in the you-know-what. And it's like, golly, man, we should have the one seed playing Dallas or the Clippers, and just chilling right now. And then if we faced Minnesota, it would be in the Western Finals, which is fine. I would have rather faced them then than now, okay? But, all right, it is what it is.
Yep.
I'm not going to keep going, you know, looking in the rear view. I'm going to do all like our new head coaches have done, our 20 head coaches that we've had in the past 5 years, and we're going to take the rearview mirror off, and we're just looking forward now.
That's it.
That's my one time to complain about it and gripe about it.
All right. I would be willing to bet that's not the only time.
And when I said it, I was like, no damn way that's the only time. I'll be talking about it again on Thursday and Friday and that's Monday. Right. So, yeah, you're right.
Let me tell you about the Fan Flyaway. It's back this time for some hoops. How about you and a guest going to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June? That's what's on the line if you go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Register for the prize. That is two tickets, round-trip airfare for you and the guests, plus two nights hotel stay and $500 in your pocket. While you're there, might as well claim another another special offer, this one from our friends over at Sport Clips. If you previously entered into a fan flyaway contest, you don't got to do it again. We've already got you signed up. And then once you sign up for this one, you're a part of all future fan flyaway contests. It's all thanks to our friends over at Sport Clips. We are going to have a conversation with Cecil Lammy coming up next. Who did he love? What didn't he like about the Broncos draft? That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Let's talk to Cecil Lammy of Orange and Blue and DenverSports.com. Always great stuff from Cece covering the draft. Cecil, we appreciate you being with us here today. Let's just jump right into this thing, man, with the quarterback competition, I guess, right? It's Nix, it's Stidham, it's Wilson for QB1 come August, right?
Yeah, and I would say this. By August, I want a plan for Bo Nix to get all the first-team reps. I understand some out there may be saying, like, man, he has to earn it. No. I don't want to waste time. It's all about the timing. He's a timing and rhythm passer. I want him to get the timing down with his teammates as soon as possible. So during rookie minicamp, of course, the other guys aren't going to be out there. During OTAs and regular minicamp, the other guys will be out there. And sure, Jarrett Stidham, he can be the incumbent starter. I'm fine with that in May. But when it comes to August, I want this to be the Bo Nix show, because this is all about that young quarterback. It's all about getting him up to speed, and it's all about getting him against Pat Surtain. I want Pat Surtain to work Bo Nix in the preseason and training camp, because Bo Nix will not face a better corner most weeks in the National Football League. If he can go up against Pat Surtain and Surtain can teach him, hey, kid, this is different here. This is a pro level. The timing is different. The speed is different. The discipline, I think, is way more different than college football. I want Surtain to work him. Surtain can't do that if Bo Nix is a, you know, third string and going against the backups. Have him go against the starters. Have him learn. And then let's flip and go, Broncos.
Absolutely love it. Cecil Lammy joining us here. Cece, out of our four last picks, 2 5th, 2 7th there, Chris Abrams, cornerback, Missouri. Audric Estime, running back, Notre Dame. Did I say that right or wrong?
Estime.
Sorry, I'll get it right here in the next year, I promise you. Devon Vele, wide receiver, Utah, or the center out of South Carolina, Nick G. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name. Out of those four, which one are you most excited about, Cecil?
Estime, and there's an undrafted guy I may be more excited about than anyone except for Bo Nix. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But it's Estime there. He's a big bank tank, basically. He's a punisher. And when that pick was made, I was like, okay, that's interesting. I would have taken Blake Watson. Guess who we got to talk about in just a little bit? Blake Watson, undrafted free agent. But, like, for me, I was like, all right, I see what they're going to do, because a young quarterback's best friend, as we all know, is that strong rushing attack. So when you have Javonte, who's going to be that banger, right? He's going to beat you up. And then you got the same guy. Estime essentially is the same type of player. Now, I did prefer Javonte, who was my number one running back when he came out of North Carolina. The knee injury may have robbed him of what he once could be. I hope not. I hope he's back and better than he was last year, because he didn't look quite the same last year. But Estime is the guy. If Javonte doesn't look the same, you got a guy that basically does Javonte things. And I think he's a better receiver than people give him credit for. I always look at the way a guy catches the ball. I don't necessarily look at the number of catches, although that can be telling for some players. But the way you catch the ball, do you have the arms extended away from the body? Do you snatch it out of the air naturally? Are your hands together, you know, thumbs together, pinkies together, based on where it's at, above your chest, below your chest line? All these sorts of things. And I think Estime can be a three-down player. I think Samaje Perine's probably gone. And if Javonte isn't quite Javonte, you got a 1A, 1A situation. They're the same guy. And I like that sort of duplication from the Broncos backfield.
Talking to Cecil Lammy, Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline is where he is. All right, well, tell us a little bit about your undrafted guy in Blake Watson right there. What's the Memphis running back bring to the Broncos?
Yeah, everything. Everything. And I'm writing up the undrafted players for DenverSports.com. Make sure to check that out. And I am grading this draft. Yes, you can grade a draft, and anyone tells you differently, that's insincere. But I look at Blake Watson, and the reason why he was a sleeper for me in this draft class is because he understands that pass protection is the number one thing, and he's a three-down back. You might look at his size, oh, he's a little bit too small. No, he's compact. He's a strong player. He can live between the tackles. He does keep his feet upon contact. He's got speed. He's got moves in the open field. And he can run routes. If you wanted to line him up in the slot, he could do that. It's proven on film. It's proven in person at the Shrine Bowl earlier this year. And I love his mindset. He understands that he's a worker and he's a grinder. And I look at Memphis backs. Kenneth Gainwell, pretty good reserve there with the Eagles. And, you know, maybe this guy, that's all he is Kenneth Gainwell. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I look at Antonio Gibson, fantastic player. I kind of wish the Broncos would have got him. And then I look at Tony Pollard. He has Tony Pollard upside, and you got him undrafted. You could have picked him instead of Estime, and I would have been doing the dance of joy. This is a great pick. Broncos see this guy. They brought him in for a top 30 visit. They understand that he's got starters upside. You got a starting running back as an undrafted guy. And it's not the first time this team has done that. They did it again, like with Phil Lindsay, like with C.J. Anderson. They got another potential starter in Blake Watson, undrafted.
I love it, Cecil. I really do. Great breakdown of that guy there. Cecil, looking at what they didn't take in the draft, right?
Yes.
No tight end.
Oh.
And I wanted them to take a tight end. I know you wanted them to take a tight end. Sometimes it just doesn't fall that way. Was there a tight end there or another position there when they drafted someone else and it just kind of drove you crazy?
I actually got physically ill, and this is where I guess, guys, I got to calm down or stop drinking as much coffee or something. I don't know, but I got physically ill when the Chiefs got Jared Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't stand Kansas City. I can't stand their fans. Pat Mahomes is fantastic to watch. But I can't stand Travis Kelce. I don't care about who he's dating. Like, the Chiefs are just annoying to me. The Xavier Worthy pick, the Bills, like, hey, we can't beat these guys. Here's Xavier Worthy. Like, oh, my God, Buffalo, what the hell are you doing? And then I look at this Jared Wiley pick, and I'm like, that dude's a playmaker. You just gave a – and you could have drafted him, Denver. I talked about him all day long. I would have kept my shirt on. I promised I would take my shirt off if they drafted him. I would have kept it on. It'd be fully clothed if they drafted Jared Wiley because that's your answer. That guy's a weapon. And now he gets to learn behind Travis Kelce with the team that you can't beat. I know you beat him last year, whatever, but that's the best team in the league who had a down year last year, restocked. Oh, my God. And you get a Jared Wiley – you know, is available there for the Broncos. I wish they would have made the move at tight end. But as you said, Stoke, it just didn't fall that way. But, man alive, why did Kansas City have to get the best sleeper tight end in this class, and that is Jared Wiley?
Yeah, I was hoping you got your Petey Pablo moment there, Cease, but didn't quite get it there.
Right,
talk to me about Troy Franklin. That was a guy that Stoke and I were talking about end of the week last week with you,
yes.
Giving a little bit of a breakdown. I love the pick. I love that they're going to, you know, they have a center, wide receiver, quarterback combo that are all familiar with one another,
yes.
And I really like how that could play out.
Well, and I want to know if Stoke loves him more because Sean Payton said he's the Z. We all know what a flanker is. A flanker's the man, right? You can move around that formation. And when he says that, I'm thinking, okay, Sutton's the X. You got Franklin as the Z. Where's Mims? I guess I don't care. Franklin can make those big plays, and it's before and after the catch, right? I worry about his size. You know, oh, you can jam him at the line of scrimmage. Well, Pritch always would tell me, nobody really jams anymore. Stoke, you'd probably back that up. Like, it's not... This ain't the 90s, baby. They're not jamming out there like they used to. Why do I get Sir Mix-a-Lot stuck in my head? But anyway, like, I look at it and I go, okay, he's going to move around because he's a Z, so he can move in motion. He's going to have a clean release. He's got speed before the catch. He's got speed after the catch. He's clearly a favorite target of his guy. And, oh, yeah, he's got a nose for the end zone. 1,000-yard receiver as a rookie? Wouldn't surprise me.
Wow.
I'm not predicting that. But it's like Mims has to be a better route runner. I asked Joe Lombardi out about it at the end of the season. He didn't really answer me because, you know, what could he say? But it's like Mims runs two routes. I love him. I think he has Emmanuel Sanders upside. He's got to be a better route runner. You got a guy in Troy Franklin that can cut a rug, and he's connected with his quarterback. You've automatically got that connection. Whatever happens with Sutton, we're all rooting for Timmy Pass to come back. They got a log jam at the wide receiver position, and I love it. But Troy Franklin could be their best receiver based on how quickly he gets up to speed in pros.
Absolutely love it. Cecil Lammy joining us here. Cecil, last one for me. All right, overall, what do you give this draft class for the Denver Broncos? What kind of grade?
Yes, and this will be coming out at denversports.com, and I want to say quickly, you can grade a draft. Now, you know for sure in 3 years. In 3 years, we're going to have a better grade. But for the people that say you can't grade a draft, I always say take Devin Leary at 12 then. Devin Leary is what, like a 7th? Take Joe Milton, right? 7th round quarterback. Take Joe Milton at 12. You can't grade a draft. I don't know. You can't grade a draft. Take a 7th rounder in the first round and then tell me you can't grade a draft. You absolutely can. I'm getting the Broncos. The spoiler alert. Stoke, you always getting this out of me, Stoke.
I like getting that early stuff. Give me that preview, baby. What you got?
They're giving a solid B, and that could move easily into an A based on the play of Bo Nix. But I got him at a B right now. I think that's very fair. This was a solid draft. They didn't get a tight end. It's disappointing. But a real good B, because they got their guy. They got weapons around him. I like what the Broncos did overall.
Love it.
All right. See, hey, actually, real quick one. Mini camp will be next weekend?
Yes, because this weekend is Free Comic Book Day. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, that's right. Look at Cease getting it in. Nice work, man. We always appreciate you, Cease. Keep up the great work, and we're going to check out that draft article at denversports.com today.
Thanks, Cease. Fellas.
All right, there he is, Cecil Lammy right there with us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Let's react to a couple things he had to say. High on our guy Troy Franklin, and have the Broncos done it again? Found an undrafted guy that will make a big impact in his Broncos orange and blue. That's coming at you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good conversation with Cecil Lammy there. Always love talking to Cecil, especially at this time of the year. Breaking it all down, telling us what he likes, doesn't like about the draft. Let's start with running backs, man, because we talked about Estime and the Audric Estime of, where's he out of? Notre Dame. And he's freaking jacked like a tree. And Cecil says he also likes Blake Watson, who's coming out of Memphis, spent some time at Old Dominion as well, but also a player that's going to come in. And then that leaves Samaje Perine as kind of the odd man out. And, you know, that's, I guess, obvious. He was used the least, but had some big moments in 2023. I believe that Samaje Perine and both Javonte Williams only have 1 year left on their deal, so that's why they're addressing the running back room right there. But Stoke, what would you make of the Blake Watson conversation? And do you believe, two-parter here, that it is Samaje Perine as the odd man out if both Blake Watson and Watson and Estime can pop?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And sometimes you always got to remember, we're talking about the running back position. Sometimes it works itself out. Guy gets hurt, training camp, you know, something happens. And so, I mean, usually you're going to probably keep, what, 3 running backs? Maybe 4 if you got a fullback, right? You got to have a fullback.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
they're so valuable. They make so many plays for you.
Yeah.
So I know that they really like Perine a lot. I mean, the guy can do it all. And he was their 2-minute guy. He was mainly their 3rd down guy. Now could I can't even remember his name. Who's our scat back guy? Jaleel McLaughlin. Could Jaleel McLaughlin take over that role?
Oh yeah.
Obviously, he's not great in pass protection. He's not the biggest guy. But could he eventually take over and be the 3rd down running back, be your 2-minute drive running back? I mean, that should be him, right? He should be good out of the backfield, catching the ball. Great. We saw an explosive guy there. Yeah, you look at Perine's contract, making, you know, his cap hits $4.5 million, and his salary's making, you know, 2.8. So it's not like his salary's a huge salary that you have to you know, concern yourself with here. You save, like I said, his cap hits 4.5. His dead cap hits 1.5. You save $3 million. So that probably signals they probably would like to save that $3 million. Mm-hmm. And you probably would see P. Ryan as being the odd man out here this year moving forward. I don't know. I don't know if they do that sooner rather than later, or they bring him in camp just to take a peek at him. But with that guy that you're talking about, what was his name from Memphis?
Blake Watson.
And then you got Estime also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you might just want to make the move now and turn the page on Perine, and just so you can take a good look at these young guys and see what they look like.
I mean, that feels like, and look, I know when August comes and we're breaking down games and Sundays, and everybody's going to want Broncos wins. Of course, we want Broncos wins. Makes life so much better. But man, it just feels like this is the year, right? And that's such a good term that you use. Like 2024, turn the page. this Broncos team. Cortland, they don't need you around here, man. Samaje, I don't really need you around here. Great time with the Broncos, but like this is about a new era of the Denver Broncos, led by Sean Payton, quarterbacked by Bo Nix, and resetting and restocking the cupboards from what it has been over, I mean, we can call it 7-8 years, depending on the player that you're talking about. Like, I'm so much more on board with that now that this draft has come and gone, and I like what I've seen out of George and Sean Payton, then let's make Cortland Sutton happy, and you got to have a guy like Samaje Perine. No, the heck you don't.
Right, and, you know, this year, this has got to be our motto this year. This is we're just laying down the foundation.
Yeah.
That's what this year's for. We're not going to the Super Bowl this year, right? I don't think we're going to the playoffs. I don't think we're going to have a winning record. If we do, great. But that's not my objective here, okay? My objective here is to lay down the foundation for greatness in the years to come, right? And how do you do that? You do that by seeing what you got in young players. Right, with these young running backs, these young wide receivers. Let's see who needs to be here and who doesn't moving forward. Cortland Sutton, you know what? He's not a foundational piece anymore. He was. But now it's time to turn the page to see if Mims, Franklin, how about our guy Vele?
Yeah.
Maybe it's him as the next, you know, great Bronco wide receiver. But we don't need to figure that out next year. We need to figure it out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you figure it out? You get them on the football field, right? And that's what I wanted to do with Mims last year, so we could see more of him. And that's what this year is for. We need to take a look at some of this young talent and see if they're the answer or not. Because I don't want to waste time trying to figure it out in 2025. Mm-mm. I need to know after 2024.
Yep.
Get these guys on the football field, let them play. And then hopefully we got a lot of answers next year, and we can build off of what they did this year. You don't build off of watching football all year long. You need to get your butt out there on the field and play. And so if there's you know, guys that have to go to make to create openings for these guys to play, that's just what we got to do. Mm-hmm. Cortland Sutton's a good football player. Samaje Perine's a good football player. It's not anything against them. It's just our situation here, where we're at now, is not conducive for those guys to be around.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
100%. And I would also, I don't know Cortland Sutton or Samaje Perine on a personal level, but we know Cortland's frustrated right now. And I think if you were having an open and honest conversation with those guys, they might be willing to go, like, hey, am I going to be on this team that's turning the page and developing young guys? Or, you know, a guy like Samaje, let me go to a team that's a contender. Or Cortland, let me go to a team that's a contender as I'm starting to get closer to 30 years old and the back end of my career. So,
yeah, exactly.
I think it's a win-win for all parties involved with these two specific players we're talking about.
Yeah, especially a guy like Cortland. You know, Samaje, you know, he's kind of a journeyman type of guy,
sure.
Right? And, you know, he's not at the level that Cortland would be or like, you know, there'll be more teams that would want Cortland than Samaje Perine on their team. But so Cortland's in a little bit different situation there. But I think you're right about Cortland. And I know, yeah, I mean, they say he's looking for a contract. He might just be, you know, one out of here altogether. And so it might be like, yeah, thank you. I didn't want to go back.
Right.
You know, I wanted to find a new team. And so I think either way, it's just time to turn the page here and move on and take a look at some of these young guys and see if they can develop with Bo Nix.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this year is for. I mean, we've wasted enough time around here. Right, by putting Band-Aids on stuff and like, oh, I hope that we were 1-5 and now we're 5-5 or whatever. Like, we might make it to the playoffs. Ah, come on. Let's not fool ourselves.
Right.
Let's know what this year is for. Let's have a plan. So in, you know, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, we look back and like, man, that was big time. Right? Yeah. Yeah. We went through some growing pains, but man, look at, you know, where we're at now, because those guys played and that playing time was so valuable for them that, and then it helps you plan for the future. Cause you know, We don't need to draft a receiver.
Right.
Dude, look at these two young guys we got with Mims and, you know, and with Reynolds and Tim Patrick. I mean, so, like, you can plan for your future a lot better when you have a lot of tape on these guys and you get to go out there and really evaluate how they handle game situations.
And Cecil, another thing he said, he wasn't calling it, but he said, hey, Troy Franklin's the guy that could be a 1,000-yard receiver. He would be. Now, I think that's unlikely in year one as well, but love the conversation. He would be just the fourth Broncos wide receiver to go over 1,000 yards since 2016. They've had three players do it since 2016, and two of them did it in the same year, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, back in 2016.
Yeah, okay. It would be nice to have a couple.
You need 1,000-yard receivers and running backs to be successful in the NFL?
It helps, Josh. Yeah, it helps. Certainly, that would be nice to have.
Because the last guy that ran for 1,000 yards is going to be on the air here in 2 hours.
Yeah.
An hour.
Yeah.
So that's not good either.
No. That's another area that we could use some upgrading. You look at the receivers and the lack of 1,000-yard receivers, and Cecil saying that Troy Franklin could be that guy, and it makes sense. He didn't predict. He said he could be.
Right.
There's an opening there where if he shows potential, he could get a lot of playing time. Plus, he has that connection with Bo Nix. So guess what happens? Whenever stuff hits the fan, as a young quarterback, every young quarterback, you're like, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, you go to your blanket, your blankie, right?
Yeah.
And that's Troy Franklin. That's who he knows. He's like, I'm going to my guy. My guy's going to make a play for me. So there could be a lot of opportunities for a guy like Troy Franklin.
All right, we will take a timeout, come back in our fourth quarter, and kick it off by going back to Ball Arena. Let's hear from Jamal Murray. In fact, a fun story from Jamal about a LeBron jersey gifted to him by his father as a kid and now sending LeBron home for the summer. That's coming up next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.